This is a Roundtable Rewind.
My favorite words on this show. I enjoy it more than I should. But we got a game for a giveaway later on. I don't know why I love that so much, but I do. And I'll tell you, we went 380 days without anything to give away because there wasn't nothing going on.
Mm, you're right about that.
So today we give away widespread. Nope, that's not. That's probably about 16 times over the next year. No widespread tickets today. But we do have a chance for you to qualify to go to Talladega. And it's not a Rockstar game today. I'm told it's actually a brownie game today. So ask your caddy what the distance is, and we'll play a golf game later on, I'm sure.
You know what we're going to do today?
What are we going to do today?
It's going to be kind of a weekend review. We're going to do a little true-false about everything that is a true-false question is something we've discussed on the show this week.
Wow, so everything's 50-50.
50-50.
So it's a 50-50 game.
And we've discussed all of them on the show
this
week.
I'm going to be really good at this.
Okay.
If now, you're not good at this,
yeah,
then what does problems. That say about your focus
well,
on the show?
Know your audience.
No, Brown won't get that one, but Dunaway's typically really bad at these games. So,
yeah.
Real quick, it's not necessarily
Jim's bad at everything.
It's subjects we have talked about on the show, but not necessarily this part about this subject. You see what I'm saying?
No, not really.
Well, people that have come up on the show are items or music groups that have come up on the show, but it's not necessarily what we talked about on the show about these people.
I see.
I'm sure you've got plenty in the chamber. Give us one.
I really don't. I've got eight. I hate to spend one.
Okay. You've only got eight?
Eight is the...
Dunaway's saying you invested a lot of time in this.
You got all week, Brown.
Eight is the normal amount we always do.
All right. So eight of you will have a chance later on to qualify for Talladega tickets. We'll get to that maybe early in the show because we've got John Parker sliding in to talk about Alabama's A-Day game at 7. Today is the return of Rockstar's Roundtable Lounge with a twist today. Rockstar, explain to people what we're doing coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
No pants.
That was last year. Oh. You guys weren't in studio. I've tried to put a twist on it because a lot of my music friends who do this for a living have not had any paid gigs for the past 365 days plus. And this is hopefully getting somebody in here to do an original song of theirs, and then we'll do a getaway song of theirs to bump their streaming numbers up. And today, the first act is the guy who actually helped me record my first EP, Les Newby.
All right. So Les Newby will be with us today, and we will try to get a couple of people, a lot of you. We'd appreciate every one of you that listened to us to download Les's work and help him out. Because he's, you know, hadn't had any local gigs for the past 380 days. We'll do that throughout the summer with our Roundtable Lounge. So we look forward to that coming up at 9 o'clock. And then it's Magic City Classic Week. We've got both head coaches on the show coming up at 9 o'clock. These guys are good friends, by the way, except when they're coaching against each other. So in their crossover of one being on the line, they're going to be in the same segment. We may go old Feinbaum and put them on at the same time.
Paul!
So that's all coming up later on the show. But we start with, you know, Alabama A-Day, two things from Nick Saban's news conference yesterday. The first one is Nick Saban, in a roundabout way, named Bryce Young the QB1, which doesn't shock anybody, but it is surprising to hear Nick Saban say it. And he said it like this before he backtracked a little bit later on in a intense fashion. But here's Nick Saban explaining to you how the quarterbacks will work for A-Day.
Bryce is the quarterback for right now, so he's going to operate with the first team, and there's competition at the position. But in order for guys to get a lot of reps, the next guy has to play with the next guy. We may have one guy out, so we may only have one guy may not be able to practice. So, you know, what you see in this game really doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of trying to figure out the depth chart and all that, because there's going to be a lot of guys missing. So how we play guys in this game doesn't necessarily mean anything relative to next year.
Huh?
Right. There was a lot of one guy's out and one guy might practice and might miss practice, but he did say Bryce is first team for right now.
Yeah, well, just stop it for right now.
For right now.
Because this is so Nick Saban, he realizes – you know, I don't like to give you a depth chart.
That's right.
I don't like to take away the competition, so I'm going to back off of it really quick here.
Bryce is the quarterback for right now, so he's going to operate with the first
for right now.
I think in Nick Saban going into year 14, this would be the most surprising decision if Bryce Young is not your starting quarterback.
That's exactly right. So no shocking news there. Rockstar, I gave these to you out of order. Can you do, let's go to 10 because it just fits so well. Because to go to the point of a Nick Saban news conference, you've got to understand the nuance that Brown caught on to really quickly there. Bryce is the quarterback for right now. So later on, inevitably, you're going to get a legitimate question about Bryce Young progressing from his freshman year to this year, his first year to his second year. So it's a normal good question. It's not a great question. It's a good question. It's a normal question. But again, Nick Saban now has to not make Bryce Young QB1. He's got to keep the competition going. So here's how that went yesterday.
You mentioned Bryce being the guy right now. How happy are you that
he's... I just said Bryce is going to play with the ones, all right? So that's the way it's going to be.
How happy are you that he's been able to kind of progress the way he has been? And do you find he's more confident now?
Well, how do you know that he's progressed the way he has been? What have you seen that be able to make that statement, first of all? I mean, I'm happy with his progress. I don't want you to think that, but I don't know where you sort of can just come out and make that statement. But I'm happy with his progress. I think he's played well this spring. I think he showed good leadership. He's made progress. I think he understands the offense. He's worked hard. So, you know, I can make the statement because I watch him practice every day, but I don't know how much practice you saw.
Zero, by the way. We see zero.
I didn't say he was starting. I said he's beginning with the other players that are starting.
Salty. He was, I'm not going to say energetic when he was on the show the other day, but he was nice to us. But I heard a national show a couple of days ago, and this is the reason, and I forgot who the guest was, but he was talking about Nick Saban directly and talking about his hatred for Nick Saban. And this is one of the reasons that people just don't like Nick Saban.
Well, I mean, obviously, he seemed like he was in a little bit of a ornery mood.
Well, he comes across as a jerk.
Well, in situations like that, he does. Yeah, and he doesn't always. That's the weird thing, but boy.
And look, it's not a great question, but, you know, the reporter's trying to do his job. It seemed a little uncomfortable and probably will never ask Nick Saban a question again.
Well, I mean, but what you get, okay, is Nick Saban has said along the way that, you know, Bryce has progressed. So when you can't see practice as a person who has to ask questions at news conferences, you have your notes every time. Well, you know, after practice 7, Nick Saban said he's progressed. He's progressing nicely. Somewhere along the way, Nick Saban says he's progressing nicely. So this guy, whoever he was, phrases the question, you know, Bryce is progressing nicely. What has he progressed to? You know, how has he progressed? Well, what makes you say he's progressed?
Well, what would have been your first question?
Yesterday?
Yeah, how do you...
I think you saw the way we did it the other day. Well, we asked zero football questions.
Yes, I wouldn't ask him about
football questions. But if we're forcing that pressure, you've got to ask a football question.
What he just said, so what are you open with? He's going to get mad with you, so what do you say?
I can't play the whole news conference, but I can tell you what got him to that mood right there was a question about injuries was the question before that. And it was a question about injuries. Evan Neal and you know, in the last scrimmage and a couple other guys, can you update us on their situation?
Which is a legitimate question.
Yeah, right, but his comment was, listen, if we were in the playoffs, I'd let you know if they were going to play or not.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but this is A-Day, and I'm paraphrasing here, not word for word, but this is A-Day, and if they don't play, then the next guy gets a chance to play, which makes us better. If they do play, they got a chance to be better, which makes us better, so it's win-win. So that got him into a
okay, but I would think mood. If you're going into the playoffs and you're going to face, let's just say, Dabo Swinney or Ryan Day or Lincoln Riley, that seems like those are the guys that will be involved. Well, you wouldn't want them to know who's going to play.
But, yeah, but
if this is just guys that are injured going into A-Day, we kind of want a status on their health.
Yeah, but Saban does the opposite, actually. He treats, you know, in game weeks, he treats it very NFL-like. He gives you the even the NFL parlance, like, he's questionable, he's day-to-day.
Doubtful.
He's doubtful. He does that going into the week. I think – Lance, the way he looks at it is, my Lord, it's a spring game. Why do you care who's playing?
That's right.
This doesn't even really matter.
That's exactly the word. And then this question followed up that. So that's how you got all of that.
Right.
14 years into this is something that we've tried to educate our listeners and our media friends from around the country on, who always make fun of us for getting, you know, yelled at in news conferences. And they do. They're like, you got to go to a Nick Saban news conference today. You'll get that from friends outside the market. And I'm always like, listen, the guy tells you a lot more in news conferences than just about any other coach out there. He doesn't do a lot of coach speak. If you listen to him, he tells you a lot of real stuff that goes on with the team. but also he uses his news conference to motivate his team. When anytime he does a media, he knows somehow it gets back to his players, whether it's on AL.com or in the Tuscaloosa News or here on Jocks or on local TV or on SportsCenter. He knows it gets back to his players. So at one point throughout this, he realized, you know, I have basically said Bryce is our number one quarterback, but I still want Bryce to be motivated to work. He always wants everyone to work.
But what's going on there is, so, like, there are times in the first segment of this show, you guys realize I'm not in a great mood. I realize Dunaway's in a bad mood.
That never happens at 6 o'clock.
I realize Lance is in a bad mood. I realize Rockstar is in a bad mood. And you just know it's going to be one of those days that Dunaway's going to argue with everything you say. Lance is going to argue with everything you say. I'm going to argue with everything you say. Dunaway or Rockstar is going to complain about absolutely everything we ask him to do.
Why do you say that?
And it's just one of those days, right? I mean, if we're all being honest, we know we do that sometimes, or we know one of us does that sometimes.
Oh, you mean we're human.
Right. But you know it in the first segment, and I know it's going to last all day. And that's what that was, Lance, is that first question. Every reporter that was covering that press conference is like, for some reason, Nick Saban's in a bad mood. And I don't care. I could ask him, Nick, I saw a rainbow out there. You had to be pleased about it. Well, why would you assume I'm pleased about a rainbow?
Yeah. I didn't see that rainbow.
I didn't see that rainbow. You know what that rainbow meant? It meant that it rained somewhere. And when it rains somewhere, you know what? We can't practice. We got to go indoors when it rains.
We got to go indoors.
So why would you think I'd like to see a rainbow out there? You know, I mean, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, it's just one of those deals, man. You deal with it.
They should have little, like, 8-year-old girls ask all the questions, so we can't be mean to them.
I can't save it.
What do you think about Bryce? No. Is he going to be the starter for this season?
See, when that happens, Coach Saban doesn't get mad at him. Rick Carly does.
No, can you imagine how bad Nick. Our boy Josh Maxson would get cussed behind the scenes by Saban?
Why did you bring the Girl Scout troop in there?
If you ever do that again.
6'12 on the show.
It's a funny bit, though, Rockstar. If you could pull some, we could get kids to ask the questions and then Saban's going off on them.
we could just get all of his blow-ups over the years.
Pull some old Saban blow-ups and let kids dub in the kids.
Speak up, I can't hear her. Speak up.
This would be like the Saturday Night Live skit when Peyton Manning is playing with those little kids.
Oh, that is such a funny
skit. Throwing
the
balls in the back of their heads and such. That is hilarious.
Why don't you catch it?
All right, 6:12 on the show. Dave and Moody, he wants to comment on this jocularity this morning. Hey,
jocularity.
Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, John, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say he uses the media to talk to his players, you know, to generate competition without having to actually.
Yeah, Dave, that's a great point. How do you think practice looked yesterday?
I don't have a dang clue. But
you think they were inconsistent at some point yesterday in practice? Yeah, probably so.
My dad was in the media for about 40 years, which he did about 2,000 football games over the radio. And he loves Saban, but he kind of can understand when he gets, like, you know, he understands the announcers. The media having a problem dealing with it. But I find him so funny that I just can't help it. It's just hysterical to me when he does like that. But anyway, I have a question about a recruit, and I caught the tail end of this story, and I tried to call yesterday. Is there a kid that's like, and I don't keep up with recruiting so that much, a 6'4", 350-pound kid that signed in the eighth grade or something?
He didn't sign.
He was offered in eighth grade. Committed. His name is Jaheim Otis, and he committed to Alabama yesterday. But in the eighth grade out of Mississippi, he got offers. He came to an Alabama camp. He went to an Ole Miss camp, and he was running, you know, under five in eighth grade. He was under a 5-second 40 at 6'2", 249, and he's grown into 6'4", 349, and he's going to be part of the 2022 class, and he's committed to Alabama.
That seems Terrence Cody size. Was Cody bigger than that?
I'm not sure Cody was that big.
Cody was 365.
Cody was 350
I've seen this kid. I've seen this kid. He doesn't look like Cody. He's slimmer and more athletic.
Was he a defensive? Was he offensive lineman or defensive?
Defensive tackle.
Goodness. That sounds good.
Like he's going to line right up over center, and you're going to use three bulldozers to try to get him out of the way.
I thought he was an offensive lineman.
I got him as a defensive tackle.
He'll play where he wants to play. Yeah. Terrence Cody's Wikipedia size is 6'4", 350.
going to say a little bit bigger after retirement.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, what, have you seen Terrence Cody? I mean, I haven't seen him.
No, but I'm just assuming.
Well, what makes you think that he's there?
I mean, y'all just come in here assuming Terrence Cody gained all this weight.
I wonder where Terrence Cody really is right now.
Yeah, that's
I have
point.
No idea. But
do you think any of our listeners can find him for us?
I don't think Terrence carried by the way, Terrence, very nice guy, extremely good player before I say this.
It's blocked!
I really don't know that, but I don't think Terrence carried his 365 probably as well as this. I haven't seen this other kid.
I've seen pictures of this guy, and like I said, it's 6'4". What was Terrence?
It's listed him at 6'4", 350.
Yeah, so this, basically the same height. This guy does not look as round as Terrence.
Terrence carried a lot of his 350 in one spot.
Is that one of the top five plays in the Nick Saban era? It's got to be, because that was the first national championship, right? Without that block.
All right, well, let's do this real quick. Number one is probably second in 26.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do this with a commercial break, and we'll figure it out, put a little bit more thought into it.
Yeah, but I'm saying just on the surface that Terrence Cody, I think that block could be a top three, actually.
Ooh.
I think it could be.
It's sliding into a top five for me.
He doesn't block that field goal.
Yeah, the dynasty doesn't happen. I understand.
Yep, it's gone. Nick Saban's probably in the NFL or retired.
It's like a game of Jenga.
A lot of people will say if he didn't block it, Julio had it.
I think that was Daniel Moore. He wished that.
You think Danny had Julio jumping a little higher?
Yeah.
I think if Julio doesn't block it, it goes wide left.
Julio, what's your vertical? Well, is Daniel Moore painting it, or am I jumping and hitting those little things?
I think there was a chance it hits Brian Groeschel over where the cheerleaders is standing next to Big Al.
Snap hook.
You guys will be shocked. I went to that game. We had one of those.
Sure, you didn't see that play.
No, there was like 10 of us, and Verno and Clay were with us. And I actually was at Pepito's. I left at halftime, believe
Pepito's?
It or not.
Pepito's?
Yeah, on the corner.
Yeah,
what so a the block.
What a great place to go.
It was a good place back in the day. It doesn't exist anymore.
I'll tell you where I was. I was on the sidelines opposite end of the field.
I bet you jumped higher than Julio.
Nope. I was getting ready. I had changed into my crimson and white and was getting ready to host the Nick Saban show, and I turned my back to the play because that was going to be the first Nick Saban show I was going to have to host after a loss.
Oof.
And I was, you know, wondering if I was going to have to change my underwear.
And what was the first question going to be?
It's not going to be about the progression of this team.
How did you put this team in this situation to lose to Lane Kiffin?
How could you not score more points?
Yeah,
gosh, can you imagine?
Think about me hosting the Nick Saban show. I made it all the way through 2009, all the way through 2008 without having to do a loss, all the way through 2009 without having to do a loss. I didn't have to do a loss until South Carolina in 2010.
And how'd that go?
It actually went fantastic. I think I called Brown instantly afterwards because I had texted Brown like 80 times during the game. I cannot believe I'm about to have to do this. What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
The Spaniard has ruined my weekend.
I've heard sandstorms 7,000 times.
And he was actually fantastic after a loss.
Me or Saban?
Nick Saban. He always is. I mean, he's the guy that lifts you up when you're down, and he pushes you down or motivates you when you're up too high.
Do you think this year's offense would have lost that South Carolina game?
God, no.
No.
Dude, think about that, how far Alabama football has come under Nick Saban. Like that Tennessee game, a super average Tennessee team. That was like a 500 Tennessee team, and they can't even score a touchdown.
And what was that final, 12-10?
Having to block punts.
I mean, this offense,
block field goals.
The 2020 version would have put 45 on that Tennessee
team. Oh, yeah, that game is over at the half.
Yeah. Cody blocks that one. It's going to end up 45-10.
Tennessee can't score here in the second half.
Yeah, that's the way it ends up. Melvin, man, welcome into the show. Hope you're doing well on a Friday morning.
Oh, yeah, man. Getting ready to go down to the 8A game this weekend. Hadn't been to God's country in a while, so.
So when you get to Jordan-Hare, tell me this. What's the one thing Melvin is going to be watching? Are you watching Bo Nix? You watching the receivers? What are you watching?
I think it has to be the offensive line, Jim. that's what we kind of lacked last year. So I hope those guys come together this year. I actually think we can fare a little bit better than a lot of people do. I'm projecting a 9-3 this year coming up
for Auburn.
That would be shocking.
Well, that would be. I mean, you want to talk about exceeding expectations, because it's not.
I think Brian Harsin would be your SEC coach of the
maybe
year.
So, yeah, 9-3. I wouldn't disagree.
He'd get some votes for sure.
I knew you guys probably would disagree on that. But, hey, Jim, I wanted to tell you the other day, man, I kind of felt your pain I don't know what y'all was saying that Alabama came in, the state of Alabama came in last in the United States, but when I think about states like South Dakota, North Dakota, Maine, and I have a problem with that too. I wonder how in the heck do we come in 50th?
Well, I mean, you named three states I haven't been to yet, so I won't comment on the Dakotas and on Maine, but a lot of people, Florida natives and people from Alabama who've moved to Florida, agreed with me about Florida. If you get away from the vacation destinations, that a big majority, three-quarters of the state of Florida is less than Alabama or equal to Alabama. So for it to be the disparity of Florida to be in the top five and Alabama to be 50th.
Yeah, but Florida's got great options.
Yep. Alabama has options. You know, but people, what people don't realize.
I just don't think you can compare Alabama to Florida.
Oh, I'm not saying that that Alabama should be ahead of Florida. I'm just saying there's a gap between five and dead last. And I think that's a big gap. And
I think a lot of Floridians, for the record, are a little strange.
Yeah. I you know, people don't realize, they don't, from around the country, they don't realize what Huntsville, Alabama has. They don't realize the importance of Huntsville to the space agency, to the defense system, soon to be to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They don't understand the technology and the brain power that is in Huntsville, Alabama. They don't understand. A lot of people don't know anything about Orange Beach, Alabama. They just think that's Florida.
No, I get it, but you like Rosemary better. Yeah, okay. Cape Canaveral had a pretty good impact on NASA. Yeah.
You've got the choice, and you go to Florida.
Yeah, I do. I mean, a lot of that is for personal family reasons, but yes, I do. I do go away from Orange Beach. But Orange Beach and 30A are the same beaches.
And it is the same exact beach.
And as I had a conversation with someone from Florida the other day, you can take the Atlantic side.
Oh, it's awful.
And throw it. I mean, it is, to me, the beaches rank Gulf, Pacific, and Atlantic is dead last. I may go Great Lakes before I go Atlantic. You know, so Melvin, you're spot on. I don't understand. I think, you know, much like you and Maine, I don't know if you've been to Maine, North Dakota, South Dakota. We may rank them less than they deserve to be because we haven't been there. There are a lot of people that put Alabama 50th because they've never been here.
Right. You guys have a good Friday, man.
You too, man.
I've heard Maine's pretty awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Maine.
My friend, you guys know him, Ted, who used to be the meteorologist at CBS 42. He is back up there. That's his home area, and he's doing weather up there. And you know, it snows a lot. You know, it's like sunny and 78 here is the good weather day for us up there. His normal day is, hey, it's going to snow today. You know.
No, if I go,
put the chains on the tires.
Yeah, if I go, it'll be in the summer. I mean, I don't want to go up there when it's snowing.
But you talk about the Dakotas,
the Atlantic. I've come really close to South Dakota. I was gonna inch in there, and I didn't.
I've been in South Dakota,
but Martha's Vineyard, which is on the Atlantic, right? I mean, that's beautiful water.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
beautiful water. The beaches are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of rocks and stuff. Yeah, but our friend Harry, they just built a house up there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go. By the way, to
Harry
his other
just
point,
built a house up there.
Yeah, but it's hard to get up there.
Yeah,
like you have to fly into Bangor, Maine, and then you have to drive a car like 3 hours to get to his place.
It's probably a pretty drive, though.
Okay, Brown's going to rank the top plays in the Saban era. A Friday mind bender from Brownie in just a second. Part of the show being brought to you by Legion FC. They're back for season 3, Birmingham's professional soccer team, kicking off its season Saturday, May 1st against Indy 11 down at BBA Field in downtown Birmingham, Alabama. You can play, you can go catch a game, the Legion in action, in person this year, and you can check them out. See the full schedule now online at bhmlegion.com, bhmlegion.com. Download the Legion FC app so you can get the latest news and follow the team on all the social media platforms at BHM Legion. At BHM Legion, get your tickets, check out all the special ticket packages and the things you can enjoy on game day with our friends, the Legion FC. Go to the website, bhmlegion.com.
Hey, before I do the Alabama plays, I just quickly wanted to go back to something else he said. Auburn being 9-3. Lance, do you think Penn State, or do you guys think Penn State starts in the top 10?
I don't know if they start in the
very
top
close,
10.
Though, right?
I think they're in the top 15. You know, you got to talk about a team that started 0-5 and then finished really strong last year.
Well, I've got written down the FPI rankings of the difficult schedules that we can get into coming up in a little bit, but Auburn ranks very high in
that. Okay, well, when we get into that, remind me to bring back my thought here
because
on his 9-3 statement, because that would be an amazing job by Brian.
Because Penn State throws a little twist.
Okay.
It adds to the difficulty of Auburn.
All right. Later on, I'll comment on Melvin's 9-3 comment.
By the way, I flipped through a sheet the other day from the last time one of our superiors did a seminar on things I do wrong on the show.
Right. I always enjoy that. Yeah. I don't know about you, Lance.
I know you do. Get 60 minutes of how to improve the round table, and usually it focuses on Jim.
How to improve Jim. Yep. And I always try to tell him, guys, we've been trying to do this for years. And, I mean, come in here and do your little 30 minutes if you want.
It's so funny that the only takeaway other than getting to breaks on time in the last meeting was we say later on too much. Still to come later in the show, too much. Which I always thought teasing ahead was good, but he says, as he listens to us in Dallas, that he's not going to be listening later on. He'd just assume we go ahead and do it now.
Well, but we can't do everything right now.
That's right.
I mean, he's a smart guy, and he's right.
Yeah, but see, and that's the problem. He doesn't sit here with you guys when we're doing one thing, and then all of a sudden...
you guys
will jump into... And, you know, I wonder where Terrence Cody is right now. And then, boom, we're on Terrence Cody.
Yeah.
And then, boom. I mean, that's just the way the show is. So some things
I
have to be.
Spontaneity is a big part of this show.
Yeah, 100%.
But can I just say, I've got the five games written down right here, but I see at least two phone calls on our screen that interest me more than my five games.
Okay, before we get to both of those.
I tried to tell you that when you wanted to rank the five games.
I didn't want to rank the five games. Lance brought that up.
And I'm doing air quote programmers that tell you later on in the show doesn't work.
Yeah.
There is one show, national show, that when my little guy's in the car and he hears later on, we will actually have to drive around the block, sit in the car, and wait on one particular segment. So it does work for a lot of people.
Fine, Bob.
There you go. That's good. So Brown later on will do his top. How quickly can you do the top five plays?
Second and 26 is number one. The Darius scoop and score against Texas is number two. The Yeldon score against LSU is number three. The Cody block is number four. And the Greg McElroy to Roy Upchurch touchdown at Auburn is number five.
Man, I think your scoop and score at number two is a little...
It's the national championship game. And it ended the game.
That was right at the beginning. Oh, you're talking it ended the game?
Well, it was right before halftime, but it ended the game.
When McCoy went out, the game was over.
Well, I mean, Alabama still had to score some
points. I think Kenyon Drake's return... kickoff against Clemson.
I forgot that one.
Yeah, see, hence the problem with this list. There's been so many in 14 years.
I think the onside kick might be in the top five.
Yeah, it may be the most important one in that game.
I think that.
You think about the momentum and what that did to that game.
Yeah, but that Darius scoop and score ended that Texas game. I mean, that game was over.
Back to the Cody block, you don't get to that game without Cody's block.
Well, if you don't have the Darius scoop and score, are you even in a position where you kick an onside against Clemson? The dynasty may never happen.
I think the Cody block's number two.
Yeah. That's why LT said Cody's block was so high.
Well, but even with the Cody block, if McElroy doesn't hit Upchurch in the Auburn game down at Jordan-Hare, you lose that game, you may not play for the national championship.
Yeah. Hence, you really can't do that list this fast, can you?
All right, let's take the calls.
Yeah, just skip over it. Later on, Brown will come back with five more great plays. Brought to you by our friends at. It is 6:35. Mike's on a cell phone. He lives in Maine. I don't know if he's calling from Maine, but he lives there.
Really?
Mike, how are you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm pretty good.
You live in Maine all the time?
Yeah.
And you listen to our show in Maine?
Every day.
Interesting. Do you have a connection to the state of Alabama, or did you just randomly find us in Maine?
No, I'm originally from Alabama. I grew up in Munford.
Are you on the coast in Maine?
Yeah. Yeah, I live probably... I ride my electric bike to the beach in the summer.
So yeah. Are great whites that prevalent?
No.
See?
No, not this far up. Which is surprising because we get quite a bit of seals.
Really?
Yeah, but they like to eat the seals, don't they?
Yeah, you get them down like closer near, south of Portsmouth, closer to like Boston, New Jersey, that area.
Yeah, I was just watching Shark Week, I don't know, one of these years, and they were doing something on Martha's Vineyard, and they were talking about how prevalent great whites have become because of the seal population.
Yeah, there's a weird line right there for some reason. I don't know if it's like the water temperature or whatever, that we just don't get a whole lot of sharks up here.
Now how close to Rockland are you? Are you in Bar Harbor or Jonesport, any of that area?
I've always got a map pulled off.
Rockland's about 30 miles north of me.
Okay.
45 miles north of me.
May I ask a personal question? I grew up not far from Mumford in Saks, as you well know. Those are close by. Not a lot of people, I don't think, move from Mumford to Maine. What caused that?
Well, I actually moved from Mumford to Arkansas.
Then
moved from Arkansas to Maine.
Yeah. It's like you're on the run.
What did you do to get in trouble with the law?
How many gangsters did you testify against?
No, I went to Arkansas and got my CDL, went to CDL school, and then I got married there, and my wife's job transferred her up here.
Oh, okay. So makes sense now. So you like living there?
Love it.
Yeah. Sounds beautiful. Yeah.
Love it. It's a lot easier to deal with the cold than it is the heat.
Well, can we ask you, since you are an Alabama native, I mean, would Maine be in front of Alabama for you?
Yes. Mm. And I will tell you, for one thing, because you get a little bit bigger variety, because I can ski, go out on a river in a kayak, and go to the beach literally in the same day from my house.
Yeah, but don't you have to have a jacket in July?
No.
What's the normal? Give me a good July day. What's temperature and all that?
Oh, in July? It's like 90s.
Oh, really?
90s. Wow.
How about that?
80s. Does Maine have small little canyons like Alabama does?
Here's my problem with Maine, right? You can't go to Auburn, Maine and see good college football, and you can't go to Augusta, Maine and see any quality golf.
That is true.
And you got both of those. What do you do for college football up there? You just watch CBS and ESPN?
Pretty much. We've actually been talking about going to a Boston College game maybe in the next year or two. And you can go see a Moss play football here, though.
Who?
The youngest, Randy Moss's youngest son is a wide receiver at the University of Maine.
Wow. Yeah.
Maine's got a good football
program.
He's
a black bear.
Yeah, didn't they?
Their baseball program was great.
Didn't they? Well, didn't they beat Mississippi State in football one year, Maine?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Slick Room days.
That's right. Yeah, they got a good football program. All right.
I'm going to say not nearly as much activity in Portland, Maine as Portland, Oregon either.
Yeah.
That may not be a bad thing.
Portland, Maine was voted, I think a couple years ago, as like the number one small city food destination in the country.
Oh, now you're talking.
Now, see, that's just like Birmingham. We probably passed it, Mike.
Is the lobster roll that good?
Oh, it's so overrated.
Oh, lobster rolls are fantastic.
Yeah, Dunaway called it overrated, which...
I mean, that's just like barbecue in Maine, right? You got a lobster roll place on every corner, like we got a barbecue joint?
Yeah, and obviously, just like barbecue, it depends on where you get your lobster roll.
Yeah. Keith says he's pretty sure Maine is the only state without snakes. Do y'all not have snakes up there?
We have snakes.
Oh, okay,
well,
so Keith is wrong.
Do not have any native poisonous snakes, and we do not have any native poisonous spiders.
Oh, wow.
Which is why I work in pest control.
I'm a big fan of Maine now. Yeah. I want to go.
All right. Thank you for listening in Maine, Mike.
That is the complete opposite of Australia.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mike was our first call ever from Maine.
Potentially.
Yep.
America's nose.
Let's do this. Let's get a map and put a pin in Maine now.
Yeah, I think one day a show, well, people are just going to make it
up. I like this. I think this is a good idea, Dunaway. I think we have a United States on a wall, and we put a pin from every caller we get from a different state.
I was going to say we do a show one day and just try to get a call from all 50 states. We know people listen to us. I mean, we get the data.
It might be longer than a telethon.
They listen to us in all 50 states. Well, I got four.
Let's
hours.
Go to the big board. We need
Come on,
four
Delaware.
More states.
We know you're there.
We've been here 11 hours.
If you know anyone in Delaware... All right, 6:40, when we come back, Lance's passport from Charleston. Is that South Carolina? I mean, we'll just another pin.
West Virginia?
Yeah, just another pin. Let's go to Mike in Charleston, who is here to save Lance's backside on a trip to Cabo, we hope. Go ahead, Mike.
I might not be able to save you, Lance, but what you said you was having trouble finding your passport.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. My passport expired. I didn't realize that it expired until I got vaccinated, and I was putting my vaccination card with my passport, and I'm supposed to leave in a couple of weeks. I noticed about a week ago that my passport expired 2 years ago, so I've been trying, every night I go online to try to schedule an appointment, and it looks like I've run out of time. I can't find it because we don't have a passport office outside of Atlanta, Little Rock, and New Orleans, and they're all booked up.
I got mine at a post office near Birmingham. I didn't know if that was still an option. Like I said, mine was before the pandemic. But I tell you what, driving over the border, I don't know if any of y'all have ever driven to Mexico, but it's a piece of cake getting in.
Yeah.
I mean, I was...
It's not the problem.
Tucson. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know this. We flew to Tucson, drove over the border. I didn't even know we was in Mexico yet. I mean, we just waved going on by. I think we went in at Nogales. And coming back, man, it was so much security. It made me think, like, wow, what do I got that might possibly trip me up here?
Whoa, you had to think through that, huh?
All of a sudden, you're like, do I have, are these really Flintstone edibles?
I remember most of Juarez, but not all of it.
But, Mike, I bet you had your passport, and that's my problem coming back.
Right, yeah, you definitely, you can get in. You can have trouble coming back. And also, on the top five plays, I guess it was for the Saban era, immediately, I had to go back to that screenplay at LSU.
I had that on there.
McCarron deal.
Okay. I had it number three, but I'm going to have to readjust later. Later in the show when we discuss that, which probably means next Wednesday, I'll have that readjusted.
Mike, thank you for the information. Driving over, not a problem, according to Mike. Let's go to Pete, who is in Demopolis, Alabama. Pete, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Awesome. Thank you.
I was calling. It's about that whole the poll, you know, the survey you're talking about ranking Alabama 50. I moved over here from Louisiana in the last year, and I'm here to tell you that ranking, it you guys know this anyway. I know that you want, you know, it's a topic that y'all want to talk about, but it all depends on who participated in that survey, because I promise you, Orange Beach, everybody knows about Orange Beach, and it's. I agree with you guys. That's a poor. Apparently, the people that participated were not.
Yeah, they were uneducated about Alabama, right?
Exactly. Now, there's something else I talked about either yesterday or the day before. Yeah, you know, we're talking about the rivalries and being from Louisiana, and of course, you know, having, you know, a strong attachment to LSU. I'm here to tell you that, while Alabama and LSU might not rank in y'all's opinion, what I do know is I look at the schedules every year, and what I see is the two open dates. LSU and Alabama take it together to prep for one another.
That's right.
That, to me, says it all. I don't have to ask any other questions about it. Yeah. That says it all.
Well, Pete, our philosophy on rivalries is exactly yours there. There are some that are just, you know, traditional rivalries. But sometimes quality of programs and points in history make rivalries, and Alabama-LSU has become, at times, the biggest rivalry on each team's schedule because of just the quality of the programs.
I agree 100% with that. Now, looking at this upcoming season, I'm here to tell you, I'm not that Louisiana guy or that LSU fan that just, can't stand. Who cannot respect Nick Saban and what he's done at Alabama? He did the same thing at LSU almost. He just didn't stay. But three seasons in, and bam, national championship. You know, I mean, he's Nick Saban. I don't think anybody can take anything away from where he rates as far as he's the number one football coach in the history of college, in my opinion.
I agree. Before you go, Pete, tell me, do you think it's going to be Max Johnson or Miles Brennan, and which one do you think should be the starting quarterback?
Personally, I think Max Johnson. I just think that he, last year as a true freshman, he came and showed in that Florida game, and we all know about it. I mean, he showed just a character that, to me, that's hard to find. It's kind of like what I tell everybody about Jones at Alabama. You know, I mean, we hear the world talking about, what's his name over at Clemson? He's number one, and he's this, and he's that, and he's the next Joe Montana. And I say, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I know one thing. Joe Burrow had one shot at the national championship, and he did it. Mac Jones had one shot at it, and he did it. Trevor Lawrence had three shots at it, and he came out 1-3. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So,
all right. Pete, thank you, man. Good information there.
1-2.
Yeah, 1-2. Yeah, one out of three, I think, is what people.
Ran into pretty good teams too.
Yeah, You did.
You do at that level. You do, for sure. Yeah. Let's do four downs before we get back to the phones. It's brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires.
Hey, the next time you need one or a set of new tires, do yourself a favor. Stop by and see the guys at Vulcan Tire and Auto, locally owned and operated with a wide selection of the top tire brands available. The guys there can get you set, get you safely back out on the road. Four locations in Birmingham. For more information, visit them online, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
Gus Malzahn back in four downs. Current job longer, Gus at Central Florida or Mike Norvell at Florida State?
I'm going to go Gus at UCF. Big year for Norvell. They can't flip coaches that quick there, but I think Gus has at least 4 years at UCF. Norvell will have to win something to get four more years at Florida State, total of five.
Can we circle back to this one? I think I would take Norvell here. I agree with you. I think Florida State has got to be patient. I think the guy can coach. It was a terrible look last year. I don't know what's going on with that program. Florida State obviously is a better program than Central Florida, or at least it has been.
Well, I mean, he
will be again.
He's trying to change the culture. You think he can coach, and I'm not doubting he can coach, but he inherited what Justin Fuente had flipped around at Memphis. So now he's the one that's got to flip it around at Florida State, and sometimes it's easier to drive the ship than build a ship.
I wonder how motivated Gus is going to be. I think it's going to be interesting.
Do you drive a ship?
You
navigate
steer
it?
A ship.
Steer a ship.
You man a ship.
Yeah.
You command a ship.
Yeah.
Help you go me. Down with a ship, too.
You can. Navy that people, help me out. Do you drive a ship, or what do you do to a ship? To keep
I thought
it going?
You were the captain now.
You captain the ship.
Yeah. You do captain the ship.
That may be the
That guy got
answer.
New teeth, didn't he?
He needed a lot of things.
Yeah, but I think he did.
He didn't get a new role.
Second down.
Okay, better chance of happening. The Clippers actually win an NBA championship, or Chip Kelly wins a Pac-12 championship at UCLA?
Chip Kelly wins a Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I feel like the Clippers have just missed a window. But the West is wide, wide open.
I mean, it is. I mean, I don't think people trust the Jazz, and you look at the Nuggets now without Jamal Murray, and you know, once the Lakers get Anthony Davis back, which he'll probably be in three games midweek next week, and then LeBron ultimately comes back.
Yeah.
I've never believed in this Clippers brand. Obviously, it's one of the better teams in the NBA right now, but I think I would go Chip Kelly. You got to win the South, one-game situation. Pac-12's wide open this year.
Yeah, I feel like UCLA is going to do something with Chip Kelly eventually. He's too good of a coach, but maybe not. Again, easier to drive the ship than it is to build the ship.
Correct. You are a shipbuilder.
Third down.
Better chance of getting back to a Super Bowl. Would you go Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger? And I think this question gets interesting because I think the AFC North has gotten a lot better.
You know, I just looked. The official win totals are out from Vegas today.
Yeah, and it threw me off, too, because when I saw Dunaway's Tampa Bay Bucks at 11.5, I quickly thought under, and then I forgot one little caveat.
17 games.
17 games.
That's right.
But my point there was going to be I immediately looked for the Dolphins, who are at 9, and Pittsburgh is there as well.
Yep.
So 9 for Pittsburgh, it's a little bit low, Lance.
Well, again,
barely over 500.
I mean, it used to be 2 given wins against Cincinnati, 2 given wins against Cleveland. Now you got to think Cincinnati's going to be improved year 2 under Joe Burrow. Cleveland is one of the better teams in the NFL now, and Baltimore is too.
Cleveland will be the favorite in the division.
I don't know. Baltimore might be.
I think it'll be Cleveland.
Well, let's go win totals. What do we got there? I think Baltimore's probably 10.5, and I think Cleveland's probably 10. Yep. I'm guessing. I haven't seen it.
I flipped those around. We'll do that coming up. It's a topic to get to. But in four downs, I'm going to take a better chance of Matt Ryan getting back there with that roster.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts. They're going to draft Kyle Pitts, and that's going to be his key to getting
I would go Matt Ryan, too, because I think Matt Ryan's got a few years left over Roethlisberger.
Fourth down.
Couple of birthdays today. Bill Belichick, 68. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 73. Better career.
Bill Belichick.
Kareem was in Airplane, and it was in Bruce Lee movies.
Good point. What movies has Belichick been in?
None yet.
Kareem could you imagine? Could Coors commercials.
Could you imagine Belichick?
You know, I think
here's
the thing. Belichick is known as the greatest NFL coach of all time.
That's right.
Correct.
But I think for a lot of people, Kareem, for a while, was considered the best NBA player of all time.
Maybe.
I still think he's considered by some the best center of all time. He's an iconic brand. I would go Kareem here.
Yeah, I would go Belichick because he's considered to be the greatest NFL coach of all time. Kareem is a top
he's in your starting five of the NBA all time.
Okay, but was Kareem the greatest college basketball player of all time?
Well, they changed rules because of
Yeah. So, I mean, you can make that argument. So, if you're
They changed rules because of Bill Russell.
Greatest
too.
College basketball player of all time, one of the top five NBA players of all time, with all of those rings, I think the combination of UCLA rings, Milwaukee Bucks, and LA Lakers rings is actually more than Belichick.
Harder to do what Belichick did, though.
You know what hurts Abdul-Jabbar? He was in that reality show, that celebrity diving show. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do
no,
remember,
I do
that,
remember
yeah.
that.
With Louis Anderson.
Yeah. Yep.
That's terrible.
That was a bad summer of TV. Yeah.
I think you that tells me that Belichick's got more money than Kareem. Yeah.
But to your point, there's a whole generation of our listeners that do not remember that Lou Alcindor carried the Milwaukee Bucks to an NBA championship.
Would you agree with me, though, it's harder to do what Belichick did?
Well, in the salary cap era,
yeah.
I mean, you get as much from managing the front office as you do anything else.
Well, tell Giannis that it's easy to win a championship with the Bucks.
I didn't say it was easy to do that, but it's harder to do what Belichick did.
That is Four Downs brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tire.
Hey, the team at Vulcan Tire and Automotive, they feel it's important for you to know that they don't employ any salespeople or technicians that are incentivized with commissions. When you're getting your vehicle serviced, the team only incentivized to take care of you and your vehicle. That doesn't happen everywhere, but it does at Vulcan Tire and Automotire. Four locations. For more information, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
Jeff and many Navy people on Twitter, pilot the ship. You pilot the ship.
Yes.
All right. Jeff and Aniston is next with us on the Jocks Roundtable. Jeff, good morning to you. How are you?
Super, man. Thanks for asking.
Super, man.
First thing I was wanting to ask y'all, then I get to the sports things, but would you rather be a master of all musical instruments or master of all languages?
Musical instruments, easy.
Oh, I would go all languages.
Lance always goes languages, and I always ask this question, which one's going to make you more money, the musical instruments?
Well, I don't think
easy.
I don't think the musical instruments unless you can sing. Like, if I could sing at all, if I could sing to the level of Rockstar and you can master all musical instruments, you could go on tour and you can name your price.
Oh, not at all.
Yo-Yo Ma makes plenty
of
money.
Yes, absolutely. A concert pianist, Kenny like G a top-level pianist. Yeah.
But for me, you know, if I was still in my youth and single, I could talk a good game in any language, but I'm still going to look like this. But I am 44% better looking if I can play a guitar or a piano or something like that.
Yeah.
So I would go with every musical instrument.
I'm going to just – and, Jeff, the international business you could slay, being able to master every language.
Yeah, but Chip, my buddy Chip Dawson, Jeff, back in college, could play the guitar and sing just a little bit. Not as good as Rockstar, but just a little bit. And the amount of girls that he was attracted to by the campfires in college – was something to see. Way out of his league.
I think music money's crazy, but Wall Street money's more.
I would take languages, too. I mean, you could literally get dropped anywhere in the world and communicate with everybody. And you could find an ugly enough village where you'd be the best-looking guy, too. So
That's true. I mean, just think about going abroad. And, I mean, that would be it'd be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. And I have to say, I agree with Wimp about the transfer rule. And I thought Dunaway kind of helped make his point when he's talking about the 14th player at Bama. If it weren't for the transfer, he wouldn't be the 14th player. So he wouldn't have been in danger.
No. But I think my point on that is that coaches love the power to cut players. They don't like it when the player has the power to cut the coach. That's my point.
He wouldn't cut him, though, if they needed him on the team and you couldn't get transfers in.
Yeah, but the coach likes to be able to have that guy sitting 13th on the bench that never gets to play or maybe plays 2 minutes a game.
I don't think we got clarity. Maybe we can just get Wimp to call back in.
Why, I heard the call from him last night.
Why should the player not have the right to go somewhere else and play, actually right. play on,
they,
in a game?
Go somewhere and play in a year.
Yeah.
Well,
sure. I mean, what happens in football if 40 players all of a sudden get mad at a coach and decide they're gone?
Well, they're gonna,
what are you going to do then?
Well, that's on the coach. What did the coach do to make them mad?
Okay. It could be something simple as we've seen some over the summer. It could be something just like wearing a shirt.
Could be.
I mean, and I think it's already turned college ball into AAU, basically. But, all right, who do y'all think wins, the 2018 Nova team or this year's Baylor?
Oh.
Well, I think I'd go this year's Baylor based on what I saw against Gonzaga.
Yeah, Baylor had the size. I mean, that would be the problem. I mean, when Nova was hitting their threes, unbeatable, but Baylor
unbeatable.
Could hit the perimeter shots, but they also had the size. It would be a tremendous matchup. I think Baylor might have been a little bit better defensively, too. I'll lean Baylor.
Yeah, I'd go Baylor as well, but the two teams really a lot alike.
They are. I think Nova I think Nova would get him. And I thought Ray Meyer could have been on y'all's list for best coach to never win a national championship.
DePaul?
I know that's – yeah. What have they done since he's been gone? And when he was there, he had them at one time number one in the country. And he has, you know, a very good win percentage.
And you think about the players they had. You know, Mark Aguirre, you know, I know his son Joey had Rod Strickland. But, you know, after that, there was one really – was it Quentin Richardson that was their last really good player?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I used to love that series. Gene Bartow and Ray would play each other almost every year. And they'd pack out the Civic Center here or go up to Chicago Stadium and play up in Chicago and pack it out there. That was a good home and home. They'd go for a while, UAB and DePaul.
I mean, school size, Jeff, it was kind of the original Gonzaga.
Right, it was. And he ate Chicago up, and that's really all you have to do. Most likely to never be broken. Mike Marshall's 106 appearances in the season for the Dodgers, or Nolan Ryan's 383 strikeouts in the season for Angels. And I know there are some guys before 1900 that had more than that, but I don't count them.
Yeah, I would go the 383 strikeouts just because starters just don't get the innings now.
Yeah, I'd go the 106.
106 timings.
Yeah, I'd go the 106 appearances because nobody's going to get that workload anymore, I think.
Probably never. So neither one of them probably.
That's exactly probably. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and we'll never have a 300-game winner again.
Last question. Any person, past or present, you wish you could see in their prime in the UFC, and I've got three good ones.
In the UFC?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Get out there and just fight.
William the Conqueror. Have to...
Who?
William the Conqueror.
He'd kid his ass, don't.
his finishing move is to explode.
Yeah, I know.
Edward the Jackal.
I think a guy like, you know, if we're just talking, are we talking non-UFC guys?
Yeah, or you pick whoever you want. Like, my three,
like I would like to see Bob Probert. I'd like to see a guy like Dick Butkus. I'm just thinking of mean guys.
Andre the Giant. Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. I'd love to see them three in the UFC.
I think they would all three
beat Andre the Giant if he was just really out there trying to hurt you.
I saw Brad Pitt whip Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, factual.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. Well, Bruce Lee was really arrogant and talked smack to him, and that didn't go well for Bruce.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I haven't thought much about that.
8:19 on the Jocks Roundtable. As we continue to work our way towards Trash on the Table, which is coming up in the next segment. Let's squeeze in one more quick call with JD and Trustful, who had a random question for us. He's been patient. JD, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm doing great, guys. I was going to out Jeff from Anniston today, but we don't have much time, so I'm just going to go with one question for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nick Saban, what is the first thing that they're going to slap Nick Saban's name on after he retires, or maybe even before he retires? And I've got my answer. What do you guys think will be named?
I would go Nick Saban Field.
Yeah, I here's what I would do. I would pull the Denny name off the stadium and put Saban's name on there. I'd make it Saban Bryant or Bryant Saban Stadium.
I think it'll be the field as well. I don't know the history of Denny enough to know whether his name will get pulled off or not.
Oh, he was a school president. Boy, what do you have to do?
But if you read Alex Scarborough's story today at ESPN.com, reliving post 2011, a decade ago, and what Nick Saban did for the city, there is a chance you could replace Chief Tuscaloosa's name.
Yeah, Saban City.
And just call it Sabanville.
Sabanalusa.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that. In fact, to me, it should already be called Saban Field at Bryant Denny.
Yeah.
To me, they should have already done that. I know he probably wouldn't like that. He's pretty. He doesn't like to attract that much attention to himself. He wants to deflect it to the players and coaches and that kind of thing. But, yeah, that's one more quick one you guys can just think about. When in your career did you realize that you could do what you're doing now, that you're going to make it? Or are you still trying to figure that out?
I'm giving myself 15 more years.
Yeah. Well, that's such a good question.
Next Wednesday, hopefully.
It's a well-timed question, too, JD.
Yeah, it really is.
I would tell you that, you know, very Nick Saban-esque, we come to work every day thinking we've never made it, that this could be our last show, that we've got to be better today than we were yesterday.
I've never felt comfortable saying this is long-term. I don't know about you guys. 100%.
I really haven't.
How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it. I've been in this building almost half of my life.
Yep.
And I've never felt really, I mean, I feel comfortable doing the show with you guys.
Yeah.
But I've never like, and I'm one of those that looks long term.
Uh-huh.
But I think worst case scenarios. So I've never felt comfortable like a ton of stability.
I think honestly, to answer your question, JD, my very first actual show when I just wasn't filling in somebody, it was a show that I had some sort of ownership in, was the old Dunaway and Brown show on original Jock 690. And I think the first time we got ratings on that show and they were really, really good, did I realize, okay, maybe I could do something here. I don't know.
And there's our show in a nutshell, JD. Brown realized it the first show. LT and I still don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah, and one more point on me. There's a chance I wouldn't be doing radio if Wimp wouldn't have demanded his certain time to do the show because his tee time was going to tee off later, so they had to fill an hour. So they gave me, we're going to give you the round table for 1 hour. Solo, way back in the day.
So Wimp can make his tee time.
Yeah, so Wimp can make his tee time. If he would have agreed to their original time, they would have bumped me, and I have no idea what
And I think the only reason Brown and I got a show is because they had to fill 2 hours to get to Feinbaum.
To get to Herb. Well, to get to Herb.
That's
yeah.
right, to get to Herb, yeah.
I think that's what makes people great in anything they do, and I think you guys have a great show, is when you have that attitude of, I still got to work every day to be the best I can be. Instead of just being relaxed, you get too relaxed in whatever you're doing, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And I think that keeps you on edge, and that's a good thing. So,
all right. Thank you.
Thank you, JD. That means a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we do try to be better every day.
I don't think you and I relax.
Yeah.
Ooh. We do not.
No, I mean, 100, you do relax.
Yeah, I'm relaxed right now, but
We don't have to get into it. It's just different approaches.
Well, I'm not taking a shot. That's not a shot at all.
It wasn't a shot at all. It didn't seem that way at all.
It's just different approaches.
Wasn't a shot.
It works. It works.
It's clearly it
works.
A shot.
Please, let's don't fight. It works. Let's just break this down by division and walk through these win totals and tell me what you think of this. Brown, your Dolphins are close, but they're not your win total favorites in the AFC East. That is the Bills at 10.5, Dolphins and Patriots at 9, the Jets at 6. Your thoughts on the AFC East?
Well, I mean, it's the Bills are among a group of 6 teams that are basically from 12 to 10.5 wins. So they think the Bills are going to be everything they were last year. And, yeah, I'm pleased where the Dolphins are at 9. I think it's the first time in like 5 or 6 years the Dolphins have been projected to have a winning season like that.
Yeah, I would say the Bills are going to be even better this year. They had every opportunity to win a Super Bowl last year. I think they're going to be one of your favorites. Obviously, the favorite in the AFC East. I probably would have ticked Dolphins up to 9.5. A lot of this is dependent upon how good Tua is going to be in year two.
Yeah, if not the Bills, Damian, Dolphins or Patriots, best chance to overtake the Bills?
Right now, I would say Patriots just because of the weapons that they did bring in around Cam. And Bill Belichick, he took last year with a lump. And I can tell that he opened the checkbook and he's like, yeah, we're not going to do that again.
A lot of talk about them trading up maybe to get a quarterback.
They need a quarterback. Cam is not good anymore.
AFC North, LT, you are right. The Ravens, the betting favorite with 11 on the win total. The Browns are at 10. The Steelers are at 9. The Bengals at 6.5. LT, you start us off here. Your thoughts on the AFC North?
Well, you know, the Steelers probably still have the best overall defense in that division, but the Ravens are right there with them. Lamar Jackson is still an incredible regular season quarterback who finally got a postseason win. Look, the Browns are getting better, but it's hard to favor them in this division. Again, this is one of the better divisions in the NFL, and with the Bengals at 6.5, they're going to be better in year two with Joe Burrow.
Steelers have an offensive problem now all of a sudden. They've lost some weapons and just not the same offensive team they were a couple of years ago.
It's just so funny, though, that this team was undefeated through 10 weeks?
11.
Yeah. 11 games, whatever it was.
Yeah,
and
11-0.
Yeah, boy, they fell off since then.
Yeah. Najee Harris projected maybe to go to the Steelers in the first round.
That would be nice, replacing James Conner.
AFC South.
This is my biggest takeaway, by the way.
Low number with the Colts, but the Titans are at 9.5, Jags at 6, Texans way down at 5. What's your big takeaway?
Well, Texans have the worst win totals, them in Detroit, and that tells you Vegas surely thinks Deshaun Watson is playing.
They think Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy. I think with Tyrod Taylor, I think 5, I still would play that over just based on the fact that if you can grab it at 5 right now, even with Tyrod Taylor, good chance to go 6-11. And if Deshaun plays, obviously you're going to bust that total. But that does tell me that he's not going to play. And for the Colts at 10, I think Carson Wentz healthy is going to be every bit or better than Phillip Rivers was last year. It's a very good roster.
The biggest gap, three full games. Chiefs at a 12 win total. The Chargers at a 9. Raiders 8. Broncos 7.5.
Well, tells me again, the Chiefs are going to run away with that division. It'll be over. It'll be over quick.
You know, the Chiefs, the Chargers are where they are, though. I thought they showed me some signs last year with Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert got better as the season went on. He was your best rookie quarterback last year. You know, you're breaking in a new coach, though, with Brandon Staley. I do think the Chargers, I would play that over. I would play the Chiefs over. I think people, after watching the Super Bowl, think the Chiefs have got a problem with their offensive line. They've got to fix that.
They do have a problem with their offensive line. They got to replace them all.
Yeah, 12 historically is a big number. Keep in mind, again, this is a 17-game regular season schedule.
So that used to be, that would be what, 11.5 probably.
Right, 11.5, yeah.
Yeah, Damian, NFC East, they've got at least a winning record with the Cowboys at 9.5.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, Dak's back and healthy. That's the difference, right?
That makes the difference. I think Dak bringing that Cowboys team back. And you got to see about Zeke, though. I'm still riding on he's young, but I think he's starting to trend towards that Todd Gurley situation where it's like he may have peaked a little early.
I don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick for a full season, but what Ron Rivera, the way they played for him last year, they've added some parts. I think they're going to be a little bit better. To me, 8 wins for Washington is a steal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the team that actually went to the playoffs out of that division last year.
9.5 Cowboys, Washington at 8, Giants at 7, Eagles at 7, NFC North, Packers 11, another big gap here. Packers 11, Vikings 8.5, Bears 7.5, Lions 5. Thoughts on the Packers, LT, there?
I think that number's about right. You know, I've seen them looking for a weapon in the first round of this year's draft. I know Aaron Rodgers would love that. Again, it's that second team in the division with the Vikings, 8.5, seems like a surefire lock to go over 8.5.
I mean, they're telling you the NFC Championship game is Tampa and Green Bay. Battle of the Bays.
Weird seeing the NFC South have Tampa Bay first at 11.5. Again, that would be what an 11 usually is when it's a 17-game schedule. The Saints without Drew Brees now, 9.5, Damian. The Panthers with Sam Darnold is 7.5, and LT thinks you get a lot of value, I think, with the Falcons at 7. What do you think of the Falcons?
It's hit or miss. I think Matt Ryan's starting to hit that, and I hate to say it, like that Eli Manning thing, where his best years are behind him, but if you keep those weapons around him, he could still make a difference, and I think that's entirely too low.
Clock ticking on Julio Jones's career.
Well, it is, but I think I would take your so-called bottom feeders in the Panthers at 7.5 and the Falcons at 7 and play those overs. Probably take your Bucks and the Saints and play the unders.
NFC West, obviously, but you just look at the double-digit win total teams here. The toughest, most competitive division top to bottom. The Rams at 10.5, the 49ers at 10, the Seahawks at 10, and the Cardinals at 8. If you play everybody right there, with a 17-game schedule, that is a jam-packed division. That looks like they're counting on everybody to split division games.
Yeah, look, I think the 49ers are going to be better than advertised.
Well, they're advertised at 10 here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a blinking marquee to me.
Yeah, I mean, 10-7, I mean, that's a good year. It's not a great year. Again, I think the 49ers are more like a 12-5 team this year.
But you know what that tells me is out of that division, you might get one home playoff game, but it's going to be tough to get more than that because of how good that division is.
But, you know, the Rams, that 17th game, they've got to go to Baltimore. So they've got one of the more difficult 17th games. But we're really going to learn a lot about Sean McVay. I've got a ton of confidence in him, but he's got his elite quarterback now in Matthew Stafford. 10.5 is probably light for the Rams.
Those are our win totals from Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill that are out, a new partnership with the NFL, and the totals are brought to you today by our friends at Train. Unstoppable players on these unstoppable teams.
There are a lot of them, and nothing stops a Train. They remind you regular preventative maintenance between seasons is key to protecting something you depend on as much as your home comfort system. It is one of your most important investments, so protect it with an inspection from a Train comfort specialist. Your comfort is their priority. It's why Train is America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC. Find a specialist near you at train.com. It's hard to stop a Train.